I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, mate.
Bit weird, isn't it, this? Bit weird.
You apologise straight away or just see if they don't notice?
Yeah, apologise. Immediately apologise.
So, yeah, me and Flav have got lots of commitments, haven't we? So, not able to get together, but we're together spiritually, emotionally. Yeah. What else, Flav?
That's both of those things. We're on Skype.
Yeah.
We're on Skype, and so it's been a bit of a faff this morning to get this done, but we didn't want to leave you hanging for a week, so we thought we'd better do something. And you're getting a view into the inner sanctum of my life.
Flav's life, yeah.
So apologies for the rack. If you're not sure, Jim might have cut it out, but there's a washing rack there. This is my kitchen.
And people have been wanting to see your pants for ages, mate. So
my pants?
Are your pants on the rack? I can see your face, but I'm seeing a different angle of your face.
Nope, there are. When I say rack, it's for washing up. So. Right. Yeah.
Great stuff. So more of that to come. But we have got a good podcast here. I've got it all in front of me, which is good. And we'll be talking about all sorts. And this Skype format is actually a format that is available weekly. Like normally we're going to be sat together. Don't worry. This will be just a one-off or like once every 2 months off. Hopefully.
Yeah, it was either do this or you didn't get anything. So.
Exactly. And the audio is hopefully good. We've got our Rode mics and everything like that. So it should be good. So yeah, welcome back to the pod. James and Flav for now. This is a Skype, as you know, and that's a weekly thing that you can get on the Patreon, which some people have enjoyed so far, so that's good.
Going well, isn't it?
It's going all right, mate. It's going all right. I'm starting to get there. Got a nice little community there, which is good, and I think people are enjoying it. And actually, the Skype one, just to give people the very, very short version of your Peckham thing, because we spoke about that in the pod last week, but we didn't get reveal it. Full stories on the Patreon, but the short abridged story is coming up right now. Flav, go.
All right. The woman needed defending against a quite horrible man who, you know, he walked up to her. I was at Peckham Rye Station. There's about six or seven people at the station. And he walked up to this woman who was on her own, quite a pretty woman. And he went to touch her and invade her personal space. And
you slapped him up, didn't you?
No, but I would have done, obviously, but what actually happened was that he motioned to move the hair from her forehead to behind her ear. You know, it's something you do with someone you love, not someone you've just met on, or not even met, just walked up to on a train station in London, in Peckham, no less. So it was really, really creepy. And instinctively, I just took a few steps forward because it was just her, this bloke, me, and I don't know, someone else must have been.
Yeah, so like, Flav, you've been very humble. He went, step away from that lady, woman.
Yeah. Yeah, and get away from her. She doesn't want you touching her face.
She wants me?
I want to touch her face. So I'm going to, I took a couple of steps forward and tried to intervene somewhat. I did it without thinking, really. And then he sort of turned on me and was like, wanted to fight me. So I just, he kept getting closer and closer and just put my hand on his chest because I've seen enough street violence yeah. in my time of going out in Hackney and every Saturday night to know that if you let someone get too close, they can hurt you. So I did that and then managed to talk him round. And by the end, he was telling me his name, shaking my hand. So he was a weird guy. But yeah, it was an odd experience after doing the podcast with you to trying to get the train back home out of London. It's part of the reason why I do live where I live now. You can't see that window there, but beyond that window behind me is loads and loads of fields. And I live very, very rural right now. Anyway, it's because of that shit that I can't stand London anymore. But yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, an abridged version.
Great. So on the podcast this week, we've got what we're going to do is we're going to go through every single Premier League manager and rate them out of 10 or whatever kind of ratings Flav would like to offer up. That could work. And then apart from that, because it's international break, really, football-wise, we can't really do crisis-y rankings or something's happening here because that continues on from last time. So what we have got...
England are in crisis, aren't they?
Well, this will go out after the game tonight. So who knows? We might have just qualified. So that's why I was sort of wary of putting them in the crisis rankings.
We're in
the
crisis.
Losing one game. Possibly.
Reality check.
Possibly, yeah. Reality.
Did you see the back pages and the Sun, the Mail?
Is it all reality check?
Every single one of them, apart from the Guardian, who didn't spell check as in check, has actually spelled it as in C-H-E-C-K.
Right.
So that headline writer is going to get the sack.
Clear missed opportunity there. but the good thing is we've got loads of comments from last week's pod, so that's good. So we can talk about album of the decade. Load of people putting people forward. It'd be interesting to see if you know any of these now.
All right.
And what else we got? We've got stuff like someone's talking about supporting two teams, which you touched on last week. I've got a new bit for the pod.
Have you?
Yeah. And I've got loads of Inside the Minds as well. That's things you say. And another belter of a BDA. That's what, Flav?
Big dick advice.
Yeah.
And watch my stepdaughter just walking into the frame. There she goes. Unwell today. Felt sick this morning, so got the day off school. And what are you doing, Chloe? See, this is what happens.
No, that's why I didn't want to call the MD at that. Yeah. And also, fact three of Sharp Facts, which is exciting.
Oh, I had something. There's a video.
Got some show news?
Well, not news, but there's a video going around of a man being attacked by a great white shark while he was spearfishing. It's good shit.
Nice. Sweet. let's kick off with, because I've got it in the running order, handshakes. We're talking about handshakes at the back end of last pod,
yeah.
and the etiquette and how to go about it. Or should we do football first, shouldn't we? Let's do football first.
If you want, whatever you want.
Let's do football first.
They're here for us, not the football. But
well, I mean, someone would like a bit more football. So, and this will be a nice, juicy bit of football now before we get into everything else. So let's do that. Let's do it.
All right.
So I saw this on a publication, and it was basically going through every single Premier League manager and rating them and their jobs so far. Because when we get back, that's all people are going to be talking about is who's going to go, when they're going to go, and the axe will be wielded.
Yeah.
That's a phrase. And people will definitely lose their jobs. Do you know the Stoke manager, Jones, still
yeah,
there?
Of course. He's still there. He still won the other day, right?
But yeah, they won away from home at Swansea. So maybe
in Swansea, were they top, Swansea?
Yeah.
So you know, the tide is swinging. And then sometimes...
Sometimes don't wield...
The tide is out, sometimes in. But don't wield the axe unnecessarily. Sometimes give them a little bit of time.
Exactly.
Don't be so gung-ho all the time. This is a problem with football fans now, is they want everything immediately. And if they don't have it immediately, they're going to kick and scream about getting the manager out. And I for one, say, back Poch. And,
right,
and
okay.
Jones.
And yeah, right. How did you make that about Poch? Right, so let's go through every single manager. On this article, they've given them a rating out of 10, which we can do, or you could create a rating system of your own division if you would like to do so, Flav. I was thinking things like the other option I was thinking was how many games they've got left.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's
or,
good.
I don't know, yeah. It could be, whatever you want.
That's good. Do you know, just for the interests of clarity, I think we should stick with 10 out of 10, but with the three the three big at-risk managers.
We can go to games. How many games have got left? Okay, right. Cool. Right, let's kick alphabetical order. Unai Emery. I'll read the first sentence of each one and see if we agree. Slowly but surely, block by block, Unai Emery is building something at Arsenal. There's something happening here. That was an ad-lib. The Spaniard has established a new identity of playing and the squad seems to be on board. Would you agree?
But hang on a minute. They were in crisis against Watford a couple of weeks ago.
Well, they're third in the league.
Yeah.
15 points.
The league does speak for itself, to be fair.
It really does. It really does. Is he building something there? Would you admit to that?
Building something. What does that mean? What does that mean?
He's building something there. Do you know what he's doing? He is blooding. He's using the Europa League correctly. He's got a squad that is got a couple of experienced players, but otherwise is quite young, which I think is good. The balance of the team in that sense is good. The midfield for me is still nowhere near good enough, and a big reason why the defence often, I think, looks so bad. I know, obviously, you jump into conclusions when you watch one game live, but going to the Bournemouth game, I was like, I can see why David Luiz, although he can't defend one-on-one, why he gets exposed. It's just like Otamendi. Like when you play, when you're a team that sort of dominates and looks to get forward and you leave like the heart of your team kind of exposed, you better be really good. And
yeah.
And they're fine. But the thing I said last week about the Premier League being so good, I think that, so then when you play teams that have got like Jimenez and Traore up front in that Man City game in particular, if the defenders get exposed, it doesn't matter what team you are, you're going to concede goals because the quality of the league, I think, is really, really high this year. So Bournemouth in that game could have easily got a draw, could have easily won that game. And it was the sort of heart of the Arsenal defence that was struggling a little bit. What will be interesting is if by the end of this season, if people like Joe Willock and Ceballos, I know you're saying like, obviously they can't buy him, so it's a bit weird sort of developing him, but if he's of use, like how far they've come along by the end of the season, because I like what he's doing in terms of bringing all those players through. So I kind of agree.
Yeah, I think they're probably getting more credit just to the fact that the rest of the teams that are in kind of competing for a similar place in Arsenal, in that Man United, Chelsea, Tottenham, are all absolutely, well, actually Chelsea are doing all right, but the other two are having an absolute horror show at the moment. And it just goes to show how close margins are at this stage of the season. But just that, you know, you get a couple of draws that you shouldn't have got, or win a couple of games you shouldn't have won and were lucky to, and suddenly you're talked about as pushing on. The fact is, Arsenal probably haven't progressed much since, you know, Emery got there, and they similarly haven't progress much compared to Wenger's last 88 games at the club. I think you knew what you're going to get with him. These teams always finish in the top three, apart from PSG. And if Arsenal do finish third this year, then they've had a cracking season, haven't they? It's a progression back in the Champions League. So you can't deny that. It's just that I think what happens is it's easy to focus on the defensive frailties. And kind of throw them under the bus because of that. But their front line's good enough to get them into that top four, even if they do have a few brain farts at the back.
Yeah.
I think, though, that if Spurs manage to turn it round and Chelsea continue to kick on, then it might still be difficult for Arsenal to finish in there. It's all dependent, and it's unfortunate for me, but it's all dependent on whether or not Pochettino can get us round and start playing again. If they can, then it's going to be a free horse race for that. Those two spots. And last time it's happened, it's finished in Spurs' favour, isn't it?
Rating out of 10.
8 out of 10, I'd say 6.5.
Right, I'm going to go with 7.5 out of 10. What I thought might happen here, and with the idea of being fair, but also not boring you too much, because you might walk away and then I'll do the podcast on my own. There might be somewhere you might just shrug your shoulders, a bit like last year when you used to get annoyed at the mid-table teams.
Yeah, there's some there's no value for me talking about them. I can just make some bullshit up, or we can just crack on.
Okay. So when it is that, just put your hand up, let us know, and I'll do that one.
Okay.
So next one is Aston Villa.
You do that one.
Okay. So
McGinn, he's good.
McGinn is good. I really like their midfield. I think
I like Tyrone Mings.
Do you? That's great. Tyrone Mings is, yeah, they love him down there. Considering the amount of changes they made, I think they've done pretty well. And there are players there that you can imagine going on to have a very good season. Jack Grealish is one of my favourite players in the Premier League. Dean Smith is a good, calm manager. I think they'll be absolutely fine. They're currently 15th with 8 points. I would give them a 6.5 out of 10.
6.5 out of 10, Jim. Sorry, 2 seconds. I've dropped my camera. Sorry, just dropped my phone. One day you'll see how unprofessional this setup it is, but we thought we'd have to do something this week rather than not do anything. So forgive me for what just fucking happened then, even if Jim cuts any of this in or out. Where were we? Anyhow, to Tottenham. I just don't think he doesn't have the experience in dealing with players. And I'd imagine that he might struggle to motivate some of the bigger stars at Tottenham or in the upper echelons of the Premier League. And as I found out so severely this season, motivation is so crucial.
So we're giving them out of 10. They're 10th in the league after 8 games. Solid start. Same points as you. Have lost to Leicester.
8 out of 10.
Arsenal. 8? He's gone 8.
8.
Okay. I'll give him 6.5. That's where I expect him to be. I think he could definitely manage Spurs or the big two. I think he needs to get on with that now.
It's too meek, though. It's too meek. He's too
messy. He's messing about, isn't he? He needs to mess about. It's getting a bit... That's the problem. There's a moment to jump, isn't there? And you get into that point where you start to wind this all up a bit now. You've taken Bournemouth as far as you can. Right? I think he's waiting for like one belter of a season and then he goes. But Graham Potter, the big pot, the pot monster, pot luck.
I mean, I can talk about him because I've just seen his Brighton side absolutely dismantle Tottenham, and they look decent. So, you know, the problem with Graham Potter, right, is he just doesn't look the part.
Knew that was coming.
He looks like a gardener.
Like a potter. Specialising in pots.
Yeah, exactly. But a pot, I got it because he's naming it. But he just like doesn't look the part in the same way. Like, I put him with Steve Keane. Remember him? He didn't look the part.
Oh, really? That's harsh. Yeah.
It is harsh. I shouldn't view him in that way, mate. I shouldn't view him in that way, but that's the way I view football. You've got
Do you know what I see? I see Brighton... And maybe this is just because they're next to each other. I can easily see him doing well at Brighton, or doing okay at Brighton. Eddie Howe moves on to Spurs because Pochettino's gone to Man United and Potter becomes Bournemouth manager. You heard it first.
What a completely boring experience that would be.
That means sometimes boring and sensible is the right call.
Graham Potter and Bournemouth is almost as boring as Graham Potter and Brighton. Probably the same level of boredom.
Probably more boring, if anything.
But, I mean, there's a lot of boredom there. That's the key. Okay. And as we know, football is an entertainment sport.
Brighton are currently in 14th with 9 points. 6.5 out of 10 for me. Exactly where I expected them to be.
Fair enough. I agree with you.
Great. Sean Dyche, Burnley. Doing bits is this young man, this young whippersnapper of a manager.
Every season, isn't it? Every season's the same. They become consistently decent at getting points. It's not the football you want to see, but it just does the job.
I love Dyche. He's been there forever. And he also is, well, maybe you were about to say this, a bit like Howe. Like, you know, come on. There's an Everton job there. There is an Everton job. Silva's not going to last the season. And he's like, they might just go, right, I'm sick of, I just want someone who's going to definitely get some form of results. And that's what Sean Dyche will do for Everton.
Absolutely would. But the challenge for Dyche would be, would he be able to play different football? And I don't think he can.
Because I've had people on the pod have been commenting about, why aren't you talking about Everton? Well, because there's not much going on there. But Silva might go, because again and again, Everton fans and the club and the amount of money that's being spent and the squad that they've got, they expect more. And for whatever reason, manager after manager, they can't reach the levels that they want. And I'd love to know, if you're an Everton fan, would you take Sean Dyche over Silva as your manager? I'd be fascinated to know. I reckon a lot of people would.
I don't think they should. I think they need to they meet the appointment of Silva was the correct one at the time. You know, he had a good track record at Hull. He did snake Watford a bit, but they started incredibly under him until Everton come and poached him essentially. So kind of reap what you sow a little bit, but they're thinking in the right way, and sometimes these gambles pay off, and sometimes they don't. You know, and you know, going for Sean Dyche doesn't guarantee Everton anything other than 7th, 6th, and playing.
I'd like to see
horrible football. He's not going to go to Everton and start getting them passing like Barcelona's. I mean, Guardiola's Barcelona, is he?
But he's never had those tools to work with, really.
Yeah, but just because you know, if you're working on a building site and you're used to using a spanner and a fucking hammer, and then someone turns up with a fork, what you know, you're going to go, all right, I can now build that. This is a terrible analogy.
The Flav's had a day. Flav's had a tough day. It's okay, mate. Burnley, I think I'll give them 9. 9 out of 10. I think they've done fantastically. Well done to you, Sean Dyche.
Good.
I'm always wary of the Burnley fans, so I just want to be careful there. So yeah, I've got 9 out of 10.
Oh, how many of them, Drayton? It's about 15. How many did we get from Vizé?
How many subs came over from... What? When? From Bullshit.
In the last year or two, yeah.
He smashes it.
What's he on, Vizé?
Vizé? I don't know. He's on big subs, so well over 150, I reckon.
Lovely man. Lovely man. Very funny.
Cool. Frank Lampard. The old wow. Frank the Tank, taking Chelsea to new heights or similar heights, but in a much younger setup. He's done all right, hasn't he? He has done all right. But, so where are Chelsea? Chelsea are 5th. So they've got 3 points more than Spurs, who are in disarray. It's incredible, isn't it?
Wow.
It's incredible.
It's the way football goes, but I think you're looking at Spurs at the moment and we're only going one way, and Chelsea aren't. You know, they're probably maintaining quite well.
You know, the one thing I would say about Chelsea is that the games they've got coming up are really, really good. They've got a really nice run of games pretty much up to December now. So they're going to
It kind of feels like the kind of conversations we're having about Spurs when we were having all these young players, the same conversations are now about Lampard and Mason Mount and Tammy Abrahams and the other one I can never remember. Is it Tomori or something?
Yeah.
Because they're excited and they give them more leeway and they're allowed to make mistakes, which is the right way to be. You know, they're young players. They should be allowed to make mistakes. They should be allowed to express themselves. And you're seeing that in Mason Mount especially. But obviously, Abrahams is delivering in putting the ball in the net. And his movement's great, but Mason Mount is pulling the strings, and it's really impressive to see, to be honest. And could he make... Your questions were about him, whether or not he'd be able to make that step up from Derby. Lampard knew him, so obviously, because he played him so much last year in the Championship. And he knew, probably fully convinced, that he could do it at the Premier League, and now they're talking about England call-ups. So, you know, you've got to take your hats off to Lampard and Chelsea, because they are hamstrung by the lack of transfer activity that they were able to do. I mean, none. They weren't allowed to bring any players in. So it's kind of a case of needs must, and perhaps the quality was already there and some of these players would have got overlooked if this transfer ban hadn't come in. That said, we're very early days yet.
Yeah,
very,
true.
Very early days.
It'd be interesting to see, if they can capitalise on this good run of games, that's a big thing. Also, I think it highlights that... Well, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But it highlights that the jump from the Championship to the Premier League, if you've got some good players around you, it's not... You can pick up those young players and put them in the Premier League. It's not as big a jump as they think, especially if you've got decent players around them. What are you giving out of 10?
I'd give him 7.
7.5. Roy Hodgson. That's Roy Hodgson. Crystal Palace, they've done really well. Their XG is terrible in every game that they play, yet they keep getting points. 14 points. 6th in the Premier League right now. I don't know how they're doing that, but they are. Well, the reason they're doing that is because they don't concede at home, basically.
And they've got a couple of very big wins, haven't they, Palace?
Won the last one against West Ham. Obviously, VAR went in their favour. Man United as Man well. United, yeah. And they've only spent 6 million. In the summer.
Yeah. Well, that's and you know, they managed to keep on to Zaha, which is almost like a bigger coup, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it was bizarre because I know we'll keep bringing this back to Tottenham, but when we played them, we just rolled them over. So it's just a weird, weird season at the moment because they're doing well, picking up points and being determined and keeping the ball out of their own net. But we're having a terrible season and we've rolled them over. So Vart knows what's going on. I don't understand football. Typical, I don't like football anymore.
Typical Roy Hodgson. Well, then let's race through these now then. So typical last thing of Roy Hodgson. Typical Roy Hodgson that they will just, I think they'll have a little dip and they'll keep balancing out. And again, they'll finish like 11th and people will be shocked that it'll happen. Next two games are Man City and Arsenal. So we could see him start to drop a little bit now. But yeah, I'll give them 8.5 out of 10, actually. I think he's done well. Oh boy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Marco Silva. Dum, dum, dum.
I mean, it's...
It's
got to go. I mean, definitely on...
How many games? This is one out of how many games you got left?
Two games.
Two defeats.
Two games. If he look, two defeats, he'll be gone. Yeah. And you can't really deny it. You can't... He's had enough time to get them playing much better than they are now. They've spent money. It's not like they haven't been back. They have. He's... sometimes there's nothing you can do.
Yeah,
I know that is in direct contradiction to what I said about the the Stoke manager. But whereas with Stoke, it's a case of they're coming from a very difficult situation. Whereas he's had and he's new to it as well, and they were already kind of broken last year. So he's going in, he's got a lot to fix. Whereas Marco Silva, you'd look in and you think, well, you've had time to mould your own side here, and they've given you the money, so. Whatever's happening, you're not the man that's there that's able to get Everton playing despite the money. So
yeah, I think Idrissa Gueye is a big loss for them, and they just lack a little bit of pace in midfield. I think, but especially a bit of energy without him. But the bottom line is he has had long enough. You're right, that because there was the patience shown last year, and I think he was struggling. But well, from sort of around December, and then in January they kicked on and did well. Everyone thought they were going to do something this year, and it's just not happened at all. And their fixtures haven't been too bad either, to be honest. But I think he's 4 out of 10 at best, maybe less. The squad's there. The squad's there. Right, let's quick fire it a bit. Brendan Rodgers, Leicester, 1 out of 10.
Flying, didn't they? Flying. I'd say 8 out of 10. But we always knew it. Great manager, great squad, young, hungry squad. Always going to fit.
Yeah, I agree. I'm happy with 8 out of 10. Jurgen Klopp. Liverpool.
10 out of 10. I don't know what else you can say. They lost to Napoli in the Champions League, but in terms of Premier League, they've won every game.
Yeah, agreed.
And even games that they shouldn't necessarily have won, they've got to find a way of getting it done. So, yeah, 10 out of 10.
It's funny, you would have seen it being, Liverpool going to be... I'm a massive liar. I was thinking they were going to struggle. I thought psychologically it would stung a bit not winning it last time, and to go again would be a bit exhausting. But they've totally proved me wrong with that. So yeah, they've done well. Pep Guardiola, Man City, got going.
How many games?
Back to back defeats. That's a great question.
Six.
Have you lost six on the bounce?
Yeah. He's already lost two games this year, right?
Yeah.
So that's 8 defeats before Christmas. Yeah, he would go.
I don't think he would. No, he wouldn't. Man, he's got so much credit in the bank. I think that would be insane, though.
But it's not about credit in the bank. It's the players that he's got, they can't lose 6 games in the Premier League on the bounce.
I reckon. I think he's got 12 games.
He can lose 12 games on the bounce. Yeah, Jim, 12...
Yeah, I think he could.
So on the 10th, he wouldn't get sacked.
No, he'd be fine. He'd be like, he's like, I can sort this out. I reckon he'd be fine. But maybe even more. I reckon, 12's about right. Definitely could have 12 games.
We Spurs had a horrendous domestic season last year, pretty much, and we lost 13 in the entire year. But if he lost 12 on the bounce, that would be 14, Jim.
You won't find a better manager. And it depends on how he does after that 12th defeat.
I don't know, mate. All right. I would say 6, he'd be gone.
Okay. Marks out of 10 for him?
Six. Yeah. Not that he's not a 6 out of 10 manager, but obviously given what's happened so far this season, you'd expect more.
Agreed. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Man United. How many games you got?
Two, maybe even one. They've got Liverpool, haven't they? If they get pumped 6-0 or something like that, which is could easily happen, then you desperately have to look at his position. He's got the lowest win percentage of any United manager.
Has he? Wow.
Last year was pretty decent, but yeah, this season I'm pretty sure it's like 1.1. Yeah, but it is terrible.
I said this last week. I don't know if he's a good manager or not. He hasn't got the players to do what he wants. But I think he'd get four games he'd be given, and then that'd be it. And that's enough. Which could easily happen, couldn't it?
If you're Ancelotti, Allegri, who are you going to compared if you go to Tottenham, Man United, or Everton? You have to choose one of those football clubs. Who do you think is the most desirable to one of these managers? Because he's going to go to one of, maybe not Everton, but if Spurs and United got rid of their managers respectively, Allegri would join one of the two. Who would he go to, Jim? Is the historical draw of Man United better than the current position of Tottenham Hotspur?
Who's got more money, Everton or Spurs?
I think they're both wealthy football clubs. I think they could spend if they want. What about Man United? You think you choose Man United naturally over Spurs?
I'm actually thinking about Everton. I think if you get Everton right, they could be a ginormous club. Like, they could be huge.
Brendan Rodgers would have done a good job at Goodison.
Yeah, I think you need... They probably had that with Ronald Koeman, though. You need that guy who's got the confidence to make the rest of them believe. And I don't... Yeah. Like, Marco Silva, I think they were kind of going, I sort of believe that you've got something. Brendan Rodgers is kind of... He has done enough in his career for you to go, oh... There's no doubt he's a good coach. You've just got to try and kind of believe in what he's doing, and it's working, isn't it? Allegri's got that, but has he got the same sort of loving energy? I don't know. I think he might actually be better. Would you take the... it's tough. That is a tough... I'd probably go to Spurs, because actually the... because the problem with Man United, as much as it's the squad's not good enough, it's the director of football, it's the whole setup. Mess up after mess up. So
it's like, both. More security at Tottenham in terms of the foundations are there.
It's mad how far
United have dropped and how much Spurs have risen, where they could even be talking about in the same sentence, really.
Yeah, and I wonder if the way that Juventus work, where they get free agents and use them correctly. So kind of being sort of smart with their money. I wonder if you might get that. You might be able to have sort of lower expectations. You'd be a bit of a god. You'd also be able to bring in good players if you're at Everton. So Everton's not the worst shout for them, because they have got a lot of money. Marks out of 10 for Ollie?
Marks out of 10, so that's 2. I think he's got a game or two left to save his job.
I'm going to go, I'll go 3 out of 10. Yeah, he's not doing very well, is he? Steve Bruce, just give me a rating.
7. Couple of good results.
Shows what a defeat will do. A victory will do. I'm going to give him 6. He hasn't got much to work with. Daniel.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Farker.
He's got what he deserves. It's Dave Bruce, about not much to work. What do you want him to give him a Barcelona squad? He deserves an average squad.
Yeah, and then you're supposed to get results from that squad, which is difficult. That's my point.
Yeah, but fair enough.
Farker.
Six.
He's 5.5. Ralf Hasenhüttl.
Six.
You have no idea, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Chris Wilder, Sheffield United.
Six.
Seven. He's got him believing, which I like. Pochettino, yeah. Spurs.
Three.
Three.
How many games he got? I think five defeats in a row means he's got to go.
Yeah. No, I'd be a very different chairman to you. I'd give him eight.
Eight games. Defeats on the bounce.
Yeah.
All right, I'm glad you're not.
So actually sacking. I'll give him 4.5 out of 10. Kike Sanchez Flores has only been in there 2 minutes. So I'm not even going to do that. Pellegrini, West Ham.
Doing well. Unlucky to not lose. To lose against Palace. I think they're a good shout for top six.
I think something's happening there. I like West Ham a lot.
Yes, I'd say 8 out of 10.
Yes, 7.5, 8. I'm going to give 8 as well. Wolves, Nuno Espirito de Santo. Not De Santo, just Santa. Wolves.
I think it's. It didn't start the season great as Europa League, which causes massive issues, but I think they're starting to turn it around now. And I think if he's there at the end of the season, it'd be a miracle because there will be some big clubs in there coming in for him, including Spurs potentially. So I would say so far six, but it will rise.
Okay. Give us your marks out of 10 in the comments below. I'll be interested to see what people have got there. And how many games would you give those managers in danger? How many do they have to lose back to back to back? let's know. All right, let's talk about other stuff. Handshakes. We were talking about handshakes last week. I feel like actually we should save that for when we're together, so we can shake hands together.
Okay, cool.
Cool. One good comment I thought was this one. D. Jonesy. Mourinho turned down the Lyon job as he still wants to work in England. Only two big clubs who are close to sacking or mutually agreeing termination are Tottenham and Manchester United, and he wouldn't go back to United. As a Spurs fan, I don't want Poch to go. If I had to have anyone to replace Poch, it would be Jose. Winning mentality. However, Levy would have to change his approach in the transfer window, which, let's be real, probably won't happen. Jose Mourinho, it's going to happen. It could happen.
I think Levy will change his approach and has changed his approach now. He talked about investing in teams, so I think that would happen. I can understand the draw of Mourinho because Spurs are just desperate to win something. Spurs fans are desperate for it. Mm. However, in my opinion, if I had to choose between Nuno and Mourinho, I'd choose Nuno all the way. He's a short-term manager. Mourinho would be there, what, at most
3 years,
18 months, 2 years maybe, before everything goes to shit and he starts turning on everyone. You've seen it happen at every club he's been to, pretty much. So, in that time, would I exchange that fallout for a League Cup? Probably. So yeah, I wouldn't be that against it, but it just seemed like such a shame, such a departure from what we've had, and I don't even know what I'm talking about, because what have we had? We've had nothing.
We've had the higher ground, haven't you? That's what you've had.
The moral high ground.
Yeah.
Can't take that in and put it in a transfer cabinet. I mean, a trophy cabinet, Jim.
Yeah, you can't put it in a trophy cabinet and then never look at that trophy cabinet again. Right, album of the decade. Lots of responses from this. This has been quite good for me because there's been albums I haven't listened to for a while or haven't listened to full stop, and therefore it's quite good for me.
Listening to more music because of this?
Yeah, I have been. Yeah.
Fair play.
It's good, actually. Although I think the problem with this is everyone has their own style. or any taste as well. So no one's right, no one's wrong. These are just options for album of the decade. Yeah. But let's get your thoughts on it. Rasangan, album of the century, is definitely My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy from Kanye West. A few people saying that, actually.
Not my cup of tea, sorry.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case. There's a few... are you a Kanye fan?
I like him. I like that he's just... he's trolling everybody all the time. And I love it. Mm. You know, he's holding a mirror up to the bollocks, I think. I think everything he does is intentional. And everything he does is a part of a wider message. And for that, I love it. But yeah, his music can get in the bin. I think it's average to fuck.
Really, I love his music. And actually, there's like... I've got the name of it now. Pablo, I think. I've seen, I've watched videos of people saying that that's not a great album. I love that album. I listen to that album so much.
So yeah, it's subjective. It's up to you. Yeah, yeah, if you get something of it, then so be it.
Mr. Pickle's Fingers, Bon Iver, 22 a million. Maybe when Justin Vernon was going through his dark anxiety and depression. The album shows his hurt. It just goes to show that even when you're going through that, it's possible to create beautiful things.
Often misery and depression is a beautiful foundation to create amazing music.
Exactly. That's why I think the podcast has been really good recently. Adam Does Stuff. Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly is a fantastic album. Start to finish, my choice for album of the decade. Few people said that.
I could not get on with that album at all, and I like Kendrick Lamar a lot. But that was one of the, just an outlier of...
I agree. I totally agree with you on that.
I could not get on with it at all.
Yeah, because I've struggled. I get why Kendrick Lamar's brilliant, but I think, and it's, I don't know, it's just taste, isn't it? But I struggle with this stuff as well. I'd rather listen to J. Cole than listen to Kendrick Lamar.
No, I really like him. Damn's one of my favourite albums, but I just couldn't get on with that one.
Okay. Temple of Satan. I
didn't know
that one.
Excuse me.
You heard of that?
No, don't know what it is.
Cool. Ethan Catamol. This might be up there. I get it. And I'm not even into that kind of music too much, but they're the only band I listen to that's in that kind of genre. Best album, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, Arctic Monkeys. I do love Arctic
Best
Monkeys.
Album?
Best album of the decade. That's
a word, mate. You're saying that because it's like, it's not that popular. You're being contrary. It's not.
Who? Me?
Whoever said that, whoever suggested it.
There was a couple of people who said that.
Yeah, but they're the ones that said that they think that's a better album than fucking their first couple.
Yeah.
And it ain't. At best, it's lounge music. Something you can put on the background. It's nice. I quite like it too. But to call it the best album of the last 10 years, I think their best album in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I agree. I think AM's better. Love AM. Right, a couple more. Then we move on again. This is the last one, actually. Lou Marshall, best album of the decade, has to be either David Bowie's Black Star or Blur's Magic Whip.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to comment on because I haven't heard these albums.
It is. I agree.
It is tough. I would say, when did In Rainbows by Radiohead come out?
That's a good shout. That is a good shout. I think that's before, if I'm honest.
Let me check.
I reckon that's 2008.
2007.
Is it? You just look.
Yeah, that can't go in, can it?
That cannot. No, definitely not. So I said to my, I asked my missus, what do you think? And she went, so is that from like 2010? Like, yeah.
Yeah, 10 years.
She's so smart, so beautiful. She's terrible with maths. Right, supporting two teams. I spoke about it last week. My mate supports Brentford and Arsenal, both in a big way. Generally, as a general rule, I'm not down with that. A couple of people making comments. One was Seven Tatty Seven. On the subject of supporting two teams, at what age can you declare you are a fan of a team? Or was that a soft spot for Kilmarnock and have attended a fair few matches over the years with my best mate who's a diehard? Never had another team, but usually couldn't go to games due to playing football myself or working. I'm 29. Is that too old to come out as a Killy fan?
Yeah, it's clear that you are a Killy fan, I think. Kilmarnock fan. Yeah, I think you just don't need to. You don't need to make a statement of it anymore. You know, you've done enough. If someone starts to use your support, you don't go, well, I've never decided, but I think I'm a bit of a Kilmarnock fan. You just, yes, I'm a Kilmarnock fan.
Yeah. I think if you want
need to come out,
if you truly want to profess it, it's about the amount of time and effort you put in as well. Because also you can be a big, like, I'm a big QPR fan, but I don't read, and I go to all the games. Well, I go to home games, but I don't read up on QPR every day. Does that make me less of a fan?
That's not true, is it? That isn't true.
It is true.
I sat next to you at work. You were always reading up about QPR.
On it. That's not true.
That is true. He's like, oh, God, I've got these. And always giving it to Adam, who's a Brentford fan. That strikes me as someone who's pretty much consumed by his football club, Jim.
Maybe I'm doing it without him thinking. But yeah, actually, do your reading. If you do your reading every day, then that means you're a fan. Right. Here's my new bit. No, I think this could be great. I can get a lot of joy out of this. It's called Home Wins. Okay? So this weekend, I'm not known for my DIY skills. And we had a leak in the boiler. Oh, and it was going everywhere. And I called it up. I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. So I should probably call a plumber. Called a plumber and said, it was going to be, for them to come out, it was going to be 110 quid. Like, no, thank you very much. But I looked into it, maybe called my brother-in-law. And he said, basically, go get a spanner and tighten it yourself. I did that. And I've got to tell you, I was strutting around. I basically spoke in a Cockney accent for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, and you should have just pulled your willy out.
Yeah, I literally, I was there with this. Oh, can I show you my spanner, actually? Hang on.
Are you actually going to get a spanner to show me a spanner? I'm acutely aware what a spanner looks like, Jim. Yes, he's gone. He's literally gone to pick up a spanner out of a toolbox.
Get this out. Get that bad boy. It's beautiful. I went to B&Q and bought a spanner.
How much was that?
15 quid. Very reasonable. So that's a big saving of money. I've gone in. I've taken a look at it. It's dripping everywhere. And I've gone, right, we're going to have this. And I've gone and I've just turned it around once. And but that little victory, I then walked into the living room. I was like, anything else you need, darling? I loved it. It was so good. I felt like a proper bloke. Anyway,
yeah, and that's it. We've kind of your role as a man in society and a female. You know, it's problematic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's not on everybody to be able to do it DIY. And if you're a man, you're expected to do it. And I've always been terrible, but I've had a couple of home wins myself.
Have you?
Yeah. I pulled off some Alcatraving off of a. off a door frame.
Oh, lovely.
And then decided to sand it all back.
Yeah.
Then pick up and then properly get it back to the wood, nice and smooth.
Yeah.
And then put the architrave back on, fit perfectly, knocked a little couple of pins in.
Sure.
Jobs are good. Em.
Lovely. That's so good. That's
and
it.
The best one, right, like, out there, if your boiler works, if you've got a combi boiler, right, which is one that you just essentially turn the hot tap on, hot water comes out. Most of them are that way now, right? Don't tell your missuses if this happens. But often the problem with it, if you get no hot water, is the pressure's low, right? It might be on zero or below one, and it nearly between one and two on the pressure gauge, right?
Sure.
There is a little valve underneath it, right, that connects the hot water. There's a tiny little valve. You release the pressure valve and it fills up to about two. Presto, you've got hot water. Tell the missus that you've been quoted a couple hundred quid. Like yours, Jim.
Yeah.
A couple hundred quid. Then go in, just turn the valve. It fills up and you have hot water again. They won't know. You will know. Yeah. You can walk your flat or house like a god completely.
That's amazing. Because, yeah, like, in terms of sort of gender roles, what you do, what they do, me having to take the bins out, there's no glory in that. So this was brilliant. And it was so simple, and it was a lovely little home win. And I think could be a place where we could share some of our best home wins. Just those little things.
It's a great idea.
Doesn't have to be DIY either. It could be something really simple that just kind of, it made you feel good for the rest of the day. I think it could be good.
Anyway. Do you take the bins out, Jim?
Yeah. It's one of my
jobs. Is that
jobs.
Your job?
Yeah, that's one of my jobs, yeah.
Why?
She's like, oh, it's disgusting. You're a manly man. I'm like, yes, I am a manly man, thank you.
Yeah, you are.
And
correct.
I'll go, babes, let me just finish this chamomile tea and then I'll go and do it.
Yeah.
Right, new bit inside the mind. It's not a new bit. It's just written that it's a new bit. It's an old bit, but you guys are loving it. Demos vlogs, inner monologue. Things that you thought of in that moment in time as your inner monologue, but you didn't say out loud, you're now sharing with us. Demos vlogs, inner monologue. Child was with his mother at Subway and she lets him order a cheese, lettuce and tomato sauce on a non-toasted white bread footlong. That's it. Cheese, lettuce and tomato.
On a footlong?
A footlong. His thought was, you failed at parenting and your child will die a virgin. Harsh? He didn't say it out loud.
Fair.
Fair. You've been big on this virgin mentality thing recently, haven't
you? Yeah. I mean, I just... It's... When you eventually become a man, you stop thinking in such ways.
Sure. Like Caleb Armstrong. I'm going to say something that's been inside the mind for a long time, but I've never actually said this. I miss Tanvir. Now, I bumped into Tanvir the other day.
I saw.
You might have seen that on Twitter. It was so weird. I was literally just going to the gym, and then there he was, coming out of Peckham Station. And I chatted to him about it. I was like, oh, look, I've seen a couple of comments that they miss you on there. And he's like, oh, I'll have to come on. So we can get Tanvir on at some point. The thing to be clear on here, guys, is as much as you miss Tanvir, I miss Tanvir a little bit, but he literally for the last sort of 4 months of the podcast, he just sat there off camera. And so for him...
Actually, there were no ones and twos.
There were no ones and twos. So for him to come now and to sit off camera every week, it's insane. Like, it's not something we can do.
Doesn't make any sense. And it would be odd. You'd have to sit in front of camera, but then is there room?
Exactly. So if there is a live show, then we could see if we can try and get him to come down. Apart from that, it might be difficult. Nicholas Sinanan said, this is true, I think. I think people do this, right? Whenever I come across an attractive girl who is mildly nice to me, I always think she wanted it.
I get where he's coming from at 100%, and I don't know if women do think that way. I'm sure some do, but by and large, you're probably incorrect.
He says that I'm happily in a long-term relationship, but the thought that I've still got the magic always gives me a cheeky lift. I love the podcast.
That's fair enough, and you know it's important to maintain that kind of that attitude, even if you are going to be completely and 100% faithful, is to know that you are still that guy, and your other half is lucky to have you, and you're lucky to have her.
Okay. Still to come in the pod, I'm gonna go through things you say at the football really quickly, and then Flav's got to go. He's got to leave for a second, so we're gonna have a small intermission that you'll never see because it'll be a straight cut into some BDA.
I've got to pick up my child. You might see him running around in the background after.
As we do BDA.
Jesus. As we do BDA.
Okay. Things you say at the football. Callum Gibson. I think it's quite good. Go on, son. Even though I'm only 18 and the player is most likely older than me.
You know the rules in football. The rule in football is that everybody in the pitch is younger than you, always.
That is so true. Yeah, that is so true. I remember being 14 going, go on, son. Give it to... shouldn't the kid be playing? Shouldn't the kid's 18 or 14?
The kid playing.
Ridiculous. Roots Raff. Things you say at the football. Seems one for modern day football where nobody seems able to take a corner properly anymore. They'll say, beat the first man. For sake.
We've talked about this a lot, but every club has a corner taker who can't beat the first man.
Very true.
Ours is Ericsson.
Also, does anyone else sometimes let out a man on like they're actually on the pitch? Absolutely.
Course,
I think that's part of your role as a player.
Lord Bentley, if there's enough of them in unison, then the player might hear.
Yeah, very true. Lord Bentner 52, things you hear in football. Anytime a player receives the ball, and so this is one I wanted to finish on this one. I've never heard this before, but apparently this is something. So let me know in the comments if this is something you've ever heard. Anytime a player receives the ball is within 10 yards of the opposition, watch your house. Watch your house.
I said it. Never heard of that. That isn't a thing.
Watch your house.
Yeah, that's stupid. What does it mean?
I have no idea. Let us know, Lord Bentner. BDA will be coming on the podcast right after this. Right, we're back.
Yeah, hair looks a little bit different. Just pissing down. I just picked up the boy from school. So yeah, but back in the game.
And here's a little something that we thought that it was just going to be some BDA on its way, but actually we've got ourselves a little bit of sharp news. You said you had something. I don't know if you can get that quickly, but not to worry. I've got fact three of the 81 interesting sharp facts.
Of course. No, I mean, it's just a video about a great white attacking a guy who was spearfishing. And as we all know, as big shark fans, spearfishing is probably the most dangerous activity you can do in the sea if you want to avoid sharks.
Yes. Yeah. It seems like common sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I guess you've got a spear, so that you probably, there's, you know, if you've got a fisherman with that kind of bravado, then he'll be up for that kind of challenge.
I'm just saying, if you get in the water with a spear and start shooting fish for a laugh or for a nice supper, then don't be surprised when Mr. Great White Shark comes and knocks at your door.
Mum, I'm home. What are we having? It's your favourite.
Shark.
You know, shark supper.
Well, that's, you know, shark. Have you had a shark fin soup, Jim?
I have heard.
Shark
that,
fin
yeah.
soup is the big, the one of the, what?
Outrageous.
All right, I said great. One of the cruelest things you can.
And most delicious.
Well, this is the other thing, is it adds no nutritional value and has no flavour to the soup. It's simply a status symbol. So if you have a wedding in, I've got to be honest, in Pan-Asian countries, some Pan-Asian countries, it's a massive status symbol.
Yeah, no, I have seen that. That's just like so wrong. Anyway.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting into sharks, as you know. And our last week, especially. What's that?
What do you mean, what is that? That's not a dog, it's a cat.
I can't see because your Skype's funny.
It's Siddly Diddly.
Siddly, oh, the new cat.
No, it's not new. It's old. He loves it. Look, Sid. He loves his belly. He loves his belly bit. Sid loves it. Ah! All right, he's had enough. Let's just move on. Do you know who else is here? Frank.
The dog.
Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank.
Frank.
Do you want to see him?
Go on. Give the people what they want.
Get the
it's
people.
All blurred with your Skype.
I should. I mean, to be honest, this should be Patreon only stuff right now. This is behind the curtain. Frank, come here. Come here. I know it's exciting, isn't it? Exciting. Oh. Say hello, Frank. Say hello. There you go. Frankie dink dink.
And then has he been sorted out?
Oh yeah, but he's still got a big one, look.
That's fantastic.
Great podcasting. Whoa.
So pointless, but fantastic. So shark fact number three, here it comes. For the BDA.
Yeah.
Which could be you're gonna have to manage that cleverly with the kids running around.
Okay, you know. No problem.
Shark three. Obviously, last week we had the fantastic American pocket shark, which glue in the dark. Glows in the dark.
It's glue in the dark.
Glue. Super. Because of the past tense. Wow. Sharks belong to a group of fish known as the elasma branches or cartilaginous fishes.
Yep.
Rays and skates, which may have evolved from sharks, also belong to this group.
Jim, do you know what cartilaginous fishes are?
No.
They're ones without any skeleton.
So sharks don't have skeletons? Is that what you're saying?
I want to say that actually they do, but do you know what fucking, I don't know. No, I don't think they do. I think they're fully cartilage.
Does a shark have a backbone? Has come up as a big set.
It has a skull.
Sharks do not have a backbone because their skeletal system is made up of a softer cartilage. Just like all the other fish that belong to the Chondrichthyes class.
Yeah, so they're just muscle, basically.
Wow.
Just muscle and cartilage. And do you know what? You know, in your ear is no bones either, just cartilage.
Right.
Yeah. So a shark's skin is also cartilage. That's why it's so tough.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They've got skeleton.
No skeleton.
Incredible. They really are growing on me.
See, I told you. They're really interested. I get, like, it's not a fascination or a fetish. That's not what this is. But if you can't get interested in about something as incredibly, like nature in its most extreme and incredible, If you can't be interested in that, then what are you doing alive? Like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I'm going to play Fortnite for the next... Just spend a lot of my time not playing Fortnite and a little bit more time understanding we live in an incredible place with incredible Brilliant. Animals in it.
Yeah.
But I want to play more Fortnite.
Let me show you a little creature by the name of an elephant.
Oh, yeah.
With a nose hand.
Stop talking about the nose hand, because I don't talk about like a killer face when talking about a shark, do I?
It's got, so you admit
it's got a killer face.
You admit that that's what gets you off.
Just call a trunk. Call a trunk a trunk. It's not called a nose hand.
Killer face. right. That was your shark news. If you have shark news, let us know. Put it in the comments.
Or do people genuinely like it? Is that why are we talking about it every week? Do they genuinely want to know more or?
81 facts there, mate. It's a long season. You know what I mean, it's the same for everyone. We've all got to stick together.
True.
Because these are the dark months, as everyone knows, in the football season. So all we've got is each other, a couple of sharp facts to get us through.
That's enough, though, Tim. Right, that's
PDA,
enough, though, isn't it?
That is enough.
PDA
time.
That's what I need.
yeah, exactly. One little, it's like a stat, you know, it's like a little nugget, if you will, of statage that you can take into your week. Mountain Woo. Right, we've got. So, okay, first of all, we've got a bit of a reaction to, what's his face, Bagel Guy last week. We asked for the picture from Bagel Guy, yet to see it, hasn't been sent to us as of yet, which is
concerning. So what is going
concerning. On? What is concerning? Mountain Woo says, question, sorry, that's different. Tom Cash, who is a trusted commentator, he said, I hate to say it, but Bagel Guy is a catfish. / another Dottie Foster.
Yeah.
If true, then he needs banning from both the channel and the Patreon, as we do not accept money from liars.
Whoa. I mean, Tom, let's not get too hasty here. But let's
charge him more.
Well, I think, Jim, what it is that people want to be a part of the show, right? And sometimes they'll get desperate and start elaborating and saying untruths when in order for it to kind of bond with us in a way and talk about their lives, and we the thing is, you don't have to lie, because everybody's got an incredible story. Everybody's got a great story. I'm doing a series of podcasts at the moment where people just talk about their story, and sometimes it is fucking dull, but by and large everyone's got a story, and so what we're saying is, do not elaborate, because we will find you out and you will be banned from the channel, not Patreon, but you will be banned from the channel. But Bagel Guy gets a buy because he gave us loads of quality content last year.
So, well, the decision hasn't been made yet. He's not like we don't know it's a catfish.
We know.
I want to still believe in this.
We know, Jim.
I want to still believe in this. We need a picture of you with a spoon, Bagel Guy. Please make it so. Please get it. Get the job done. Please allow me to believe.
Can we get a few of you with pictures of spoons, please? Like, just prove that you're real. Anyone watching this, prove that you're real. Send in a picture, tweet James a picture of you holding the spoon, because I'm starting to believe that our entire audience is make believe. I want 20 people, 20 people to at least to message Jim
first 20.
For a spoon, and he will retweet every single one. Can you do that? All right, I'll tell you what. Tweet me at @Flav_Bateman, right? FLAV_BATEMAN, right? And my Twitter timelines are a fucking mess, right? So I will happily retweet it. Tweet me, you with a spoon. Prove that our audience isn't make-believe and we're not all
prove
just...
Prove it's real. Make it so. Make it real.
Yeah, make it so that we're not just talking to nobody, because right now I feel like none of you are real.
Yeah.
Spoons.
One sort of your starter BDA, Mountain Woo. The question, is it okay for a friend to get off with your ex-girlfriend, even if you've been broken up for a number of months? I don't know whether to feel hurt because it's kind of none of my business, or is it? Wesley Lang chipped in the comments after saying it's a shit move. It's normal to feel horrible months later after a breakup. If it's a mate worth keeping who did this, tell him it's bothering you. If it's a friend, cut them out, mate.
Ooh,
what do you think,
Flav? I think it's probably... depends how incestuous your friend group is. Like, people who are really close-knit close-knit friends of about 10, mixed sexes. It happens. It just happens. And,
yeah.
But what I think you do have a role to play. Your friend has a role to play to ensuring that he's not being a prick, because ultimately he's thinking about him and his winky ahead of your what this will do to him, and do to you rather. And like, if it's like they're pissed up and they're really kind of like drunk and they're doing things, and then they wake up the next day and go, shit, I'm really sorry this happened, mate, and I know this was a bit of a shitty move, then that, I think that's cool. You've got to buy they're thinking about you. But if they're just doing it and thinking fuck you, then yeah, how much of a friend are they?
Yeah,
Jim,
if it was me personally, I'd definitely. So if I was you, what's his name, Mountain Woo, I'd feel hurt as well, and it's normal to feel hurt, I think. And I think I'd be also a bit disappointed if the guy hasn't said anything to you, but he's probably thought it. He's probably just not got the minerals to come and say it to you, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But in my friendship group, that happened a few times, and
did you ever do it, Jim?
No, not me. But yeah, my friends did, and I was actually like, I'm not cool. I don't think that's cool. But they kind of just got on with it. And as time progressed, you kind of, because like, if you're not with that person anymore, you're not with that person anymore.
True.
So life moves on. So it should hurt, but it makes sense for it to hurt.
And to be honest, when you look back and you think it's not the end of the world, you'll get over it, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. But yeah, I don't think it's.
Still hurts though.
The thing as well, do you want the drama of bringing it up, or do you want to just hang in there and let it pass? That's a decision you've got to make.
Jim, I just want to cut you here, right? Mm. I've got 5 minutes left of recording time on my phone before I've used up all
that's
of my...
That's fine, that's fine. Okay, this is good. We're going to leave a little cliffhanger. Are you still recording now?
Yep.
Okay, right. So here we go. This is a good one. And this is from... I'm not going to say who this is, but this is fascinating and difficult, and we're going to need the comments' help on this one, I think. Hey James, I need some BDA. However, if there are any young... Oh, don't forget that. So, over the summer, my recently divorced mate was trying to get himself back in the game and found some luck in the form of a lovely woman. At the time, I didn't think much of it and was just happy my mate was happy. Last weekend, though, me and my mate went to the pub and he got shit-faced. Not wanting him to be on his own, I did the responsible thing and drove him to the lady's house, where he proceeded to pass out on the sofa. He passed out on the sofa. Which was when his new girlfriend put her hand on my thigh and asked if I wanted to stay the night before trying to kiss me. Now, I want to stress that I'm happily married man, and so I politely declined and got out as quick as I could. Now I need some advice as to what to do next. Should I tell my mate about what happened, or should I just not get involved? Also, should I tell my wife that another woman tried to kiss me? I'm very confused. What do I do?
I mean, I'm going to need a week to think about this.
It's tough, isn't it?
I think, Jim, I think that this, on a true cliffhanger, we should go to the comments and see what they say, and come back next week.
And this is, I think this is the toughest one we've ever had.
It is, and we know the guy.
Because your options include leaving it, keeping quiet, having a word with the girl, which I'm not sure what that's going
to
do.
The wife as well. Telling the wife mate. Is a key one as well. Like, do you like talk to your own wife about it? Like, what? I mean, you did the right thing. And then, like, next time you see them, because he's a mate, you're going to bump into... There's a lot to unpick here, Jim. A lot.
Yeah.
Do we tackle it this week, or do we wait till next week and see what the comments say?
I think I like that idea, actually. Let's do it. Let's leave a cliffhanger. And it's a great exercise of bringing it, hopefully real people, as you said earlier, together
yes.
to solve this conundrum. It might even go to a poll card. Who knows at this stage? It's just too early to tell. Because I read it and I was like...
Yeah, you sent it over to me immediately, didn't you?
I did, because I thought it was a good one. Yeah. Or a bad one, depending on who you are.
It's a tricky situation.
So there you go then. Right, okay, we'll leave on a cliffhanger. Guys, thoughts on that whole situation? Let us know in the comments below. We will dive into this meaty one next week. Let us know your thoughts on everything else. Give your ratings for the managers, and tell us what you think about Flav's room.
Ratings for the cat.
Ratings for the dog.
Sydney. Sidley diddly. Nah, not interested.
If you are still listening to this but you're not seeing our faces, that's because you are not yet a patron member. If you fancy doing it, you can do it for $3. We're going to have loads of signed prizes coming soon, hopefully, if I can get the deal done, which I think I might be able to do. It's like a raffle ticket.
We're having a number of conversations, aren't we, Jim, with interesting, influential people who will be able to give us stuff to give away as a part of the partnership. So, you know, if it doesn't come off this time, it will come off next time.
Exactly. Right, have a great week. We'll see you next time, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.